the sun is shining and all of my favorite plant friends are popping up right now. Speaking of plants, what are you growing this year? Do you know? Do you know what kind of medicine will be in your garden? Or are you still trying to figure it out? Totally okay if you're still trying to figure it out. We're all growing and learning on this journey, right? But if you want some help, I do have a family medicine garden guide. It's basically 10 essential herbs that I feel like every mom needs to know and grow in their yard. I give you some growing tips and ways that you can use it as medicine, and it's totally free. So if you want that, I'm going to pop a link in the show notes here for you to grab it and get your hands digging in the dirt and growing incredible medicine for you and your family. Wow. This conversation you're about to tune into with Heather Shelton is phenomenal. So Heather is a nurse and an herbalist and an incredible healer of all kinds. We talk all things from birth to death to herbs to psychedelics and cannabis and homesteading and all the things. And I want to make sure you catch this episode right now because Heather is about to close doors on an apprenticeship she's doing, an herbal apprenticeship. And I must say, if I were looking for it right now, I would jump on the chance to learn with Heather. She's brilliant and has so much knowledge and wisdom to share. Anyway, she's going to drop a lot of it on you inside of this episode. So be sure to tune in and let us know what you think. Hello and welcome to The Herbalist Path, a podcast where you'll discover how to make your own herbal remedies at home so that you can take better care of yourself, better care of your family, and better care of our planet. I'm Mel. I'm a clinical herbalist, environmental educator, and mountain living mama with this crazy passion for teaching more mamas and their little loves how to use plants as medicine in a safe, effective, and tasty way so that there can be an herbalist in every home again. It's an absolute honor to have you on the journey down the herbalist path with me so that together we can make herbalism hashtag spread like wildflowers. Well, hey, everybody. I am super excited about my guest today. Her name is Heather Shelton. And I actually just recently met you, Heather. And I think it was so cool how we met. We met at a mutual friend, Nikki's house and Lovelight Herb Farm. And it was so funny because this Lovelight Herb Farm is like 2 miles from my mother's house outside of Veneta, Oregon. Nikki's always been amazing to me. She gives discounts to my apothecary mama students, which is so darn nice. And it was my birthday weekend. And I was like, you know what I want for my birthday? I want to go dig in the dirt and gather some plants. And Nikki had just posted like, hey, come get your roots. And I said, okay, I'm going to go. And I had set up a time, but it didn't work. And she set up another time. She's like, oh, I'm going to have 2 other herbalist friends here at that time, but that should be fine. And I get there and she tells me, oh, it's her birthday too. So Heather and I are birthday buddies. We share the same birthday. And I believe it was actually the day after our birthday that we met on October 9th. And both had that desire to spoil ourselves with the love of plants. So yeah. It was really great to meet you there. And it's a great honor to have you on this show. And I can't wait to meet you amongst many other plants in the future. And what little I've been able to talk to you since October when we met, I'm fascinated. I'm fascinated by your story, by your experience in the world of plant medicine and healthcare and all that you have done. And I figured you'd be a great guest for the show. So we'll just kind of roll into it. That's a very awkward introduction, but it's all the truth. So welcome to the show. I'm super happy you're taking the time to come here and chat with me.
Yeah, well, I'm very excited to be here. And I also loved meeting you on our birthday weekend. I love Of course, anyone who wants to stick their hands and get dirty in the soil, right? And pull out a big marshmallow root, just ooh and ah over it.
So beautiful. So beautiful. Yeah. What a great, great way to spend a birthday weekend. It's the ideal way to be spoiled.
And make a new friend.
Yeah. And make a new friend that I get to connect with more and more and more and more. It's so exciting for me. So, you know, before these podcasts go on, when I'm interviewing somebody, I always have a long chat, and Heather and I just had a really, really long chat, and it was really fantastic. But she has so much amazing knowledge and experience, I think, to share with you guys. Heather was a nurse for many, many years. She's an herbalist. She specializes in the field of cannabis nursing and cancer care and getting into psilocybin and teaching people about being facilitators in that realm. Like, you have so much to talk about. And I'd love to just start way back in little Heatherland. How did you get into the world of plant medicine? I'd love to just hear that.
Well, I will say that I grew up with a mom who was just an amazing, incredible gardener. So I watched her dig in the dirt and weed and grow these incredible bouquets of flowers. I remember someone from like a home and garden magazine coming and taking pictures of her gardens when I was a child, but I didn't really, you know, I wasn't invited to join at the time. And now that I'm a mom, I can understand in some ways why that was her special space. But when I moved to Oregon the first time, which was in 1996, I had just started to become aware of this bigger world, you know, and I was learning about angels, and I was learning about crystals and astrology, and just like, wow, all these amazing new things I'd never heard of or had any exposure to. And I got this book called Spiritual Midwifery by Ina Mae Gaskin. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a classic in the world of birth and midwifery. And I moved here, and there was a midwife, a local midwife, who was teaching some midwifery classes in her home. And so I signed up. And I had this moment the very first day. It was around my birthday, actually, in that year, 1996. And I remember sitting in her living room, and right as the class started, I felt the sky open up and light shine down. And I had this moment where I knew I was just right where I was supposed to be. So that, you know, through my work with home birth, really started to, I became introduced to food, healthy food. I mean, I didn't know actually. I mean, I hadn't eaten vegetables really in my life before. I didn't understand how important that was. So I started to learn about food, learning about herbs in relation to pregnancy, postpartum care. And then the midwife's husband was a naturopath, and he focused on Chinese medicine. So we would get classes from Dr. Joe, and, you know, it just became my whole world and what I wanted to do. And so I started to, you know, attend home birth deliveries and just get inspired and learn more about herbs. And I guess in 1997, I think Susan Weed came to town. And so I got to go see Susan Weed, you know, who totally rocked my world as well there. And then so that opened up a whole nother kind of world. Because I'd been studying about Chinese medicine primarily, which has its very own really deep heritage and system, right? It's a very complicated system. And Susan just came and made it simpler for me and it helped me understand, oh, I can do this. I can do this. I don't have to go to school and study Chinese medicine for 4 or 5 years. And so that's where it all began for me, and never really stopped after that.
Hey, I wanted to take a quick pause to show some love and gratitude to our sponsors of the Herbalist Path podcast, who make this show possible for me and possible for you too. So here it goes. Medicinal mushrooms are all the rage these days, if you didn't know already. And
With great reason, because they are powerful medicine that can improve your health and your life in so many different ways when they're well made. Yeah, it's true. There's a lot of stuff on the market that isn't going to be so effective. And that's why you need to find a brand that you can actually trust. For me, that brand is Whole Sun Wellness. And this is the creation of a brilliant woman and fellow mama, Jamie Bonfiglio. She's an international mushroom educator that has been working in the medicinal mushroom industry for years. And this is when she saw firsthand how many other companies take shortcuts when it comes to their products. And Jamie wasn't having it. She set out to build her company the right way. Whole Sun Wellness is here to raise the industry standards so those crap mushrooms on the market aren't getting into your body or your family's body. Whole Sun Wellness is the first company to test and report nutritional facts for all of their extracts. They go beyond industry standards every step of the way, from sourcing to extraction and final testing. And as the owners of the largest medicinal mushroom farm in the United States, Whole Sun Wellness is taking control of their supply chain for the highest quality and absolute full transparency. They're even the first company to include pure mycelium extract in every single product. So when you're thinking of getting medicinal mushrooms for you and your family, Whole Sun Wellness is exactly the ones you want. Also, be sure to check out their new Mycolites. These are the world's first dissolvable electrolyte tablets. They're featuring functional mushroom extracts that'll give you more energy, more stamina, and recovery as well. And who couldn't use all of that? The other thing is, they are these adorable little mushroom-shaped tablets, and they come in like a little Altoids box, but way cooler than Altoids, because they're Mycolites. Anyways, head to wholesunwellness.com to grab yourself some Mycolites and all of the other functional medicinal mushrooms that you and your family need, and of course, you can grab that link right here in the show notes now.
That's a beautiful story. I love that it began at birth, you know, right, or in the birthing process. Like, that's so, so beautiful. I feel like we could just chat about all the similarities of stories for so long, but I really want to focus on your story in this particular show. But that just sounds amazing. I love when the combination of midwives and naturopaths come together. Actually, my midwife is a naturopath, and I love her dearly. I want her on the show soon too. But what a beautiful way to begin. So when you were in that phase and just beginning to learn, were there any particular herbs that just really called to you and made you say, wow, this really works, you know, like as you're learning about how food makes a difference and all of that kind of stuff. And then you're like, oh my goodness, these plants.
Yeah. Well, you know, at that time it was so primarily focused on birth, you know, so, prenatal care and postpartum care. And, you know, once I had taken a class from Susan Weed, kind of opened up the idea of, I guess, what we call Western herbalism now, but really what's local, what's around, you know. And I met a really neat woman there who was a bit older, who had studied herbs also for a long time. And so she started to take me out on some walks, usually go on the logging roads, and she taught me about plants. And gosh, the plants that I would say really in the beginning, so many of them were the herbs like red raspberry leaf and nettle and mineral rich herbs, or some oat straw, you know, safe for pregnancy. And then, and also really supportive and nutritive, right? Mm-hmm. Those were the ones I think there wasn't any particular herb that sparked my fancy. It was the whole, it was such an awakening for me, because I grew up, you know, in the modern medical system. I actually grew up pretty sickly. I had chronic UTIs. I'd had multiple exploratory surgeries as a child. I was on antibiotics, prophylactically, meaning preventatively, for 13 years of my wow. life growing up. I mean, by the time I went, found my midwife and her husband, naturopath, I was kind of sickly, actually. I was a sickly young person. And so I just embraced all of it. I mean, once I will just tell you, I'm going to knock, of course, because I'm a little superstitious all the time, but I've not had a UTI since I was 21 years old. And I believe that's because I found this new way, which was actually just called feeding your body what it wants, you know, and like learning how to do that and what the options are. You know, it totally changed the trajectory of my life. You know, then I started to grow plants. I remember I had my first garden and with some garlic and calendula, and I had to learn about deer and how to keep deer from eating your plants. You know? And so it became this whole lifestyle for me. And then I met my husband and we became homesteaders. And so, I very fondly remember my midwife, friend, one of my teachers. She's actually still a dear, dear friend. She's going to be the midwife for my grandchild who's coming in next month. And we're still dear friends, and she taught me how to make pesto. Mm-hmm. And so I remind her of this, you know, now we're dear friends. And so but to me, she's always going to be my teacher. Right. And someone who's so important. And I say, Margie, you taught me how to make pesto. Do you know how important this has been in my life? Right. Cause that's one of my favorite ways to use herbs right now. The chickweed's just starting to come out down here. And so I'm going to about to have dandelions and chickweed and be able to make pesto with my friends, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know if it was one herb that really sparked it for me. It was just the fact that there's another option, you know,
yeah.
and this option is the option that feels right, because I am nature, you know, so of course nature has what I need. That's, you know, what I came to it back in those days.
I love that story. And it just really takes me to like hearing about how you had these chronic UTIs and how you were consistently on antibiotics. I was also consistently on antibiotics for ear issues and what have you. My parents didn't know any better. They were just like, this is what the doctor says to do. This is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And I think our whole society hasn't known any better for so long. And thankfully, more and more people are waking up to like, oh, we have to nourish our bodies. It starts with that. And we have to put good things inside and, you know, have this relationship with nature and understand that we are nature. We aren't just a bunch of synthetic bullshit. And then if you look at our whole entire country's food system, no wonder so many people are sick.
Absolutely.
It's food like, I call it heavily processed food like stuff.
Yes.
And it's really hard for the average person to get away from that.
Yeah.
Or to understand the damage that it is causing.
Yeah.
It breaks my heart, and I wish we could shout it out louder. And it, you know, I think the awareness is really opening and becoming much more of a thing, thanks to the crazy world of social media and whatnot these days. But there's still so much misinformation and confusion around it all out there.
Well, I really love to teach about the food herbs, you know, and so just, you know, our culinary herb, for example, right? I mean, thyme, what an incredible plant, right? So just adding some fresh thyme into your food, you have suddenly put this little nutrient dense ingredient in your dinner. And so not only is it providing you more nutrients, right? But it tastes good, right? Mm-hmm. You're getting some chi because if you're lucky, you got to pick that thyme right from your garden. So it's still fresh and alive, you know? And then that culinary herb, which makes your dinner taste good, also can help you with your lungs. If you have congested lungs, thyme tea is delicious with honey. It's safe for people of all ages. It's easy, right? Mm-hmm. You probably already have it in your kitchen. So I really like to start, you know, sharing about herbs with people in without making them be exotic, right? Mm-hmm. There's no need for exotic. I mean, even dandelions, I tell everyone about the dandelion. It's one of my most favorite plants. But even dandelion can be kind of intimidating for some folks if they haven't, if this is brand new, like, ooh, you eat your dandelion. Aren't we supposed to kill those? I don't like dandelions in my yard, you know, very different approach. But when we talk about parsley, right? Parsley is another one of these incredible foods. Eat your parsley that's on your plate. It's actually there to help you digest your food, not just to look pretty, you know? And I find that just gets people thinking about things in a little different way, you know, like lemons, citrus fruit, herbalism, right? Mm-hmm. The peels, bitter, those are so good for your digestive system. Mm-hmm. You know, so I love to pull that in. Mushrooms, like every mm-hmm. mushroom has anti-cancer properties, yeah. right? Fascinating. We should all be eating mushrooms all the time, right? Cooked mushrooms, absolutely. Never eat a raw mushroom, always cook your mushrooms. Mm-hmm. But, you know, little, I really try to share some of those tidbits of food that is our, we already have with us, or things that you can buy in the grocery store, because then it makes herbalism attainable for people.
I so wholeheartedly agree. Like, there's so much medicine in your kitchen cabinet. It's unbelievable. And one other thing that I love about like the thyme and the parsley, you talked about it being so good for digestion. Like, these are culinary herbs, and almost every one of them are specific for helping your body digest your food.
Right? You know, isn't that cool? Like,
neato. Yep. I yep. think it's really wonderful. And it's a great opening door. Like, it doesn't have to be complex. There is so much great medicine in yeah. that kitchen cabinet. And oftentimes people, you know, what do I do? Oh my God, I'm sick right now. Well, do you have thyme in your mm-hmm. kitchen cabinet? Because if you do, do yourself an herbal steam, drink a tea. Thymol is a main constituent in many over-the-counter cold and flu medicines that comes from thyme.
Yeah. Like, yeah, just, or garlic. I mean, another superfood.
Garlic, my fave.
Yeah. And I just, it's just about taking that. I mean, a lot of people already use garlic, right? And they know it's good for you. It definitely makes your food taste good. Makes you maybe have bad breath, a couple other things like that too. I think that's part of how it helps fight colds and flus. People don't want to get too close.
I love
but,
that.
But you know, just to suddenly make a little shift in the way you look at that garlic, like, oh, this is food for my spaghetti sauce, but oh, this is also helping my immune system. Oh, this is also has the ability to fight some bacteria. Oh, you know, it's, I love to watch the light bulb go off for people. And it really can be that simple as one of the things that we already have stocked in our pantry. So
I wanted to take a quick pause to show some love and gratitude to our sponsors of the Herbalist Path podcast, who make this show possible for me and possible for you too. So here it goes. I love this time of year. It's spring, the sun is shining, and all of our beautiful plant friends are popping up. It's amazing. Unless, of course, you're one of the millions of people who suffer from seasonal allergies. You know, the itchy, watery eyes, the sneezing and wheezing that's straight miserable. Thankfully, there are some amazing herbs that can help you with all of that. Just like the herbs inside of Kick-Ass Allergy from Wish Garden Herbs, one of my absolute favorite herbal companies out there. Kick-Ass Allergy, yes, I said ask without the K at the end. Anyways, this formula has yerba santa, nettles, echinacea for that immune support, and orange peels, all which come together to help dry up those excessive mucosal secretions. Yep, I'm talking about the sniffles and the stuffy nose, the watery eyes, and all that jazz. This blend also acts as a great expectorant and can help ease the swelling and inflammation in those mucosal tissues. It is a top go-to for seasonal allergies. And get this, they combine all those beautiful herbs with glycerin, so it actually tastes pretty darn good. Or should I say, it tastes kick-ass, without the K at the end. Anyways, if allergy season is miserable for you and you want a natural remedy that actually works for those itchy eyes and being all sneezy and wheezy, you have got to check out Wish Garden Herbs Kick-Ass Allergy. And for those of you with the little kiddos, no sweat, they've got a kick-it allergy too. And you pregnant mamas, you don't have to suffer either. They've got a kick-ass allergy formula just for you. So head over to wishgardenherbs.com or check out the link in the show notes and go grab yourself some kick-ass allergy so you can enjoy spring again.
It really is that simple. I love hearing that. And I love that you love the teach the simplicity and that you've already talked about the prenatal care and the postpartum care and the herbs for mama and baby, because you're coming on to teach in April in Apothecary Mama. So that's, I like it. I'm excited for the students in there that are going to learn from you.
Thank you. So, I'll be a new grandma then too. So I might even have some new tidbit. You know, it's been a while since I've had my own little baby in my arm. So I keep expressing my gratitude for them for bringing me a new baby.
That's so exciting that you're going to be the best grandma. What a lucky little baby.
Certainly do try.
Do they live near you also?
They live a mile away.
I'm so happy for you and for them. That's
and they're beautiful. Having their baby in the same cabin where I had my son 24 years ago with my midwife friend. I was just telling you about Margie. So yeah. I'm going to be her assistant and my daughter will be there. So it's going to be a sweet family.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
That is so cool. That's magical. It's like, it really makes me happy and shine for you. Like that's really beautiful. Speaking of births and home births and that kind of level of magic, I know you've done quite a few of those. And whether you were the one having the home birth or assisting people in that process, I want to hear a story. I don't even know what story I want from you. Like, what was one of the most memorable experiences helping somebody bring their baby?
Helping somebody. Well,
out into the world.
Well, one, this isn't actually even an experience, but it's something that's really sweet that just happened is the first baby whose birth I attended has just also had her first baby. And it just like so sweet to still be connected to this mama and then now see this next generation of baby. And I wasn't there because they live in Canada, but you know, and I'm kind of getting to be in this next generation now, which is weird because I'm very young, of course.
I was just going to say, this is making me feel weird because we just talked about how we're exactly 4 years apart.
Got started early.
Yeah, I got started late. So it makes sense. Yeah. My daughter's 9 and I'm 44. So I'm an old mom. I was borderline geriatric.
About, my different births, you know, each one is so unique, actually. Yeah. And, it's so interesting because it's the babies who are in charge.
Isn't that true? I can share my story.
Well, and they come when they want to come as much as I know we do intervene and we make those things happen. They really are the ones who want to decide when it's time for them to enter.
I'm going to interject quickly with my story just because hearing you say that is very funny. My daughter, was a good 2 weeks late and then some. And we had this beautiful like laboring process at home. I was really blessed. Susan McCutcheon teaches the Bradley method and she happened to live two blocks from where my apothecary was. And she taught us all those things. And I had the greatest midwife and she kept saying, oh, there's going to be a baby coming. There's going to be a baby coming. 26 hours later, they're like, there's still no baby. And I'm still in like a totally blissful state. And we live like an hour from the nearest hospital. And I was very stubborn. Like I'm not going to the hospital. This is going to be all natural. Everything is going to be great. Yeah. And my daughter was stuck with her head like this and was not coming out. And so I had an emergency cesarean, but it's really fascinating because to this day, she still sleeps like this.
She likes to take her time doing things.
Very much so. Very, very much so. And it's so interesting the way these babies are in charge and they come out knowing who they are already as it's still this process of learning, but fascinating. Yeah. Anyways, you just saying that I was like, oh, that all makes total perfect sense with the person my child is today.
Yeah. Well, and I have three children. And so like each one of them also at each one of those deliveries was totally different experience. And, you know, even now as they're getting to be adults, I can see how it worked that way. Like my last child was my daughter, my only girl. And, she ended up being huge. I was huge. I had a huge belly. And, you know, I'd had my first delivery had gone fairly smooth, a lot of pushing. He was a big baby too, almost 10 pounds. And then the second one is my more earth-based child who doesn't like rapid change. He likes to have a plan, you know, and boy, it was really hard to get that baby born. I mean, it took a long time, right? And he was tiny compared to the others. And then the third one came along and, I was definitely more in my power of just understanding the process and knowing, you know, I'd had this very long birth. I know it could be anything, but I just thought I'm going to pray with this baby because, you know, let's make this work better. And I was able to tune into her in a different way than I could the other babies just because I was more experienced. Mm-hmm. And I just remember laying in bed and praying to her. I didn't know it was a she at the time. And, you know, I was in bed with my other kids sleeping and having some contractions. And every time I'd say to her, you know, awesome baby, we're doing a good job. We just got to work a little harder. And after about an hour and a half, I got up and I was like, oh, I have to pee. I get up, I go to the bathroom, my water broke, and I had a baby in like 7 minutes.
Wow.
7.5 pound baby, right?
Wow.
Came totally. I was just my husband and I. So it was really pretty dear. I mean, talk about empowering. I think every time a woman has a baby, I really pray that they feel empowered because it is incredibly empowering, life-changing and empowering. Mm-hmm. And after that one, after each kid, I just knew, oh, I can do anything now. But after that third baby and doing it, just my husband and I, and it really just my baby and I, you know, it was very cool. Then I really knew I could do anything after that. Which was a good power to have, having three little children, four and under.
Right? Yeah. That's a busy, busy mama.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that story. And it is, I feel like moms are superheroes. It's a superpower kind of thing. And
it is a superpower. Yeah.
You just shared that right there.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. So you had three kiddos under four and a homestead. Mm-hmm. Tell me about that. Tell me about the homestead. Was that in Oregon too? Or was
Gosh, I wonder if I just even remember those years. No.
Yeah. Brain fog years.
yes, they were definitely foggy years. No, we were in Vermont. We had a sweet little 8-acre homestead in Vermont, a really old home, almost 200-year-old farmhouse that was really cold and blustery and needed a lot of work. And we just kind of went for it. My husband, his name's Jamie. We'd been out here, we'd had our baby, we'd had our little gardens, you know, we'd done some gardening here, and we got there and had this beautiful space. So we built a giant circular fence, big garden area. It was probably at least a quarter of an acre, maybe about, you know, between a quarter and a half acre of our property. And just started growing food. And within a year, we thought we should get some chickens. So we got some chickens and we learned how to do that. And then the next year we're like, oh, we should have pigs. So we got pigs. I mean, nothing was planned. We didn't study, which is how we do things. Although, you know, I just got this puppy, you know, a month ago. And I can tell you, I brought the puppy home and I thought, even much does a puppy need to eat? I have no idea. I didn't even read anything. So we seem to fly by the seat of our pants that way, but it worked out well. So we raised chickens, turkeys, pigs, and sheep on our farm, and children, and lots and lots and lots of food and herbs. We were pretty self-sufficient in our food. I mean, I still, of course, went to the grocery store, but the grocery store was a good 45 minutes away. And in Vermont, one of the things I love about Vermont is that the whole state lives support local. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's a movement, support local, but Vermont lives support local. That's just the way of the state. So that was really awesome there. And so we grew a lot of our own food. We got our flour grown from a fellow in northern Vermont. He milled it there on his property. So, you know, then I would make the bread. I was home with my kids for 8 years, just taking care of the farm and the kids. So I was able to bake the bread and do the canning and all of those things.
A lot of work.
So much work. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So much work. I mean, I was like really excited to, it's part of why I decided to get a job.
Right.
Because I was at home working so hard and not getting a paycheck. And I just needed some adult stimulation too, after a while. I mean, my kids went to a sweet, sweet little Waldorf school that had been started by some homeschool parents and ended up being a beautiful community. And we found our people through that. I was home for 8 years and I decided to go to nursing school. Feeling like that was kind of the fastest way to a career for me. And I was already into herbal medicine and I'd been doing, you know, home birth midwifery. And so, I went to nursing school and it was better than I thought it was going to be, actually, because what I found over the years is that nursing school starts with a holistic whole person. And most of medicine doesn't, you know, and I've worked with a lot of now doctors and medical students too. And the way that doctors are trained is to look at each individual organ system and we study each system. And then at the very end, we put it all together into a person. And the way that we train nurses is that we start out as a person, this whole person, mind, body, spirit. Spirit's actually included in the care of a person when you look at it from a nursing perspective. So, and then we break down all the different parts and we learn about that. So it was a good fit for me. I ended up, you know, I thought maybe I'd do labor and delivery, but that traumatized me actually in nursing school, attending my first hospital deliveries.
Ooh, yeah. Especially after being in the home birth environment.
It was hard. Yeah. And I was at a tertiary care hospital, so big trauma hospital. And it just, I went for my first day actually. And I had my first patient and, I won't go into the whole story, but it was like, I got to witness that whole circle that we talk about for women when we intervene in birth, right? It's, you know, I was just watching what I had learned happens to women, you know, and I thought, well, but that can't happen to every woman, right? I mean, I was just really going and open, like, you know, and I know that lots of women have beautiful deliveries in the hospital. So I don't feel that where I think women should have babies is the place that they feel safest. And right. So for every woman that looks different, I don't, you know, I don't have expectations for other people of where they deliver their babies. But I did go into that experience and I was just blown away watching that poor care is what it was, non-woman and baby-centered care. Mm-hmm. So I found myself actually becoming an emergency room nurse, which wasn't at all in my wheelhouse of what I thought I'd do. Cause of course I became a nurse to help change the world, right? And help change medicine and find a more integrative way. And that is why I also left medicine, cause that is not a job for one person to do. So I spent about a decade in the ER. I loved that. It is where allopathic medicine shines.
Right.
We do a really good job there. So
save lives there.
We save lives. And it's really feels good to save a life. We save lives that I'm not sure we always should save. I've come to learn a lot of things. Death is the only sure thing we know on our path here on earth. And so we need to respect that more. I'm definitely in a different, I have a different perception now. Now that I've worked also through home death and with a lot of people I love. But I had a good nursing career for the most part, in emergency medicine. And I think I shared with you earlier that after nursing school, it took me 3 years. I really felt like I needed to get back to the plants. And how was I going to get back to the plants? Because I had to really put that to aside to learn. And of course, I wrote papers on, you know, I wrote papers on herbs and I wrote papers on home birth and things like that, you know, so I ruffled a little bit of feathers in nursing school, but mostly I had taken space. I didn't have time really to work in the gardens the way I wanted to. And I just had to train myself to think a little differently for school. So the summer after I graduated, I went to Sage Mountain and did a year with an apprenticeship with Rosemary and a lovely, amazing group of other herbalists, and found, you know, kind of felt like returned to my people. And and the gift that Rosemary granted me in that time was really bright. She brought me back to the magic of plants.
And she's so good at that too. She's just this lovely fairy godmother fluttering through a land of deep nature connection and bliss.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was so grateful. I mean, it was just really healing for my soul and to remember this is still here. This is all still here, and it's okay. I have this other path that I'm working on because this is still my path too. So I left traditional nursing in 2020, officially, right? I've been doing other things. I've been nursing part-time for 7 years or so now, just doing a little part-time. And so then I left really 2 years ago, and I haven't looked back. I've done a little bit of nursing in the psychedelic realm, and a lot of nursing in cannabis world. But that doesn't look like what traditional nursing looks like. So,
right. Yeah. I'd love to hear a little bit about the nursing in the cannabis world, or not the cannabis world, but the psychedelic world. I want to hear about the cannabis too, but.
Yeah. Well, it's an interesting time and really exciting. And so some of the, you know, cannabis is also an entheogen. So for me, I've already been working with altered states of consciousness in people for, you know, the last decade, really.
Right.
So these medicines are just a little more intense. Although cannabis can be really intense if you are not taking care in how you're using it for some folks. But I've done a bit of work with ketamine, which I was actually really hesitant to do because we are a strict no white drug family in my family, meaning all kind, you know, like we don't really even take pharmaceuticals unless it is absolutely in need. So I wasn't really sure I wanted to do that because I know that that is also a party drug. I've heard a lot about it in kind of younger circles. But I will tell you the transformations that I have been honored to witness for people have been really spectacular. And so really what I do there is hold space. I help people to set an intention. I really love to always bring in an intention of self-love because I think that all of us humans suffer in that way. And then I like to give people a little homework, which often includes things like a gratitude practice or, you know, how can you take a little piece of whatever that experience was and bring awareness to it every day, right? Because here's the thing about psychedelics. When we have depression or anxiety or even chronic pain, what happens is our body and our nervous system gets used to following a certain neural pathway, right? And those neural pathways get damaged. And if every day you think, oh, I'm a horrible person, that's just happening anyway. You don't even have to think about it. It just is what your brain starts to do because it's done it so much. And what the psychedelics do, both ketamine and psilocybin and other psychedelics, I believe as well, those are the two that I have the most experience with. It create the actual experience creates the formation of a new neural pathway, right? So it's almost like here's this big rut you've been driving in. You just can't get out of the rut, and suddenly this psilocybin experience occurs, and there's a new pathway. It's out of the rut, And the thing is, it doesn't end there. And that's part of what I think is really important for people to know about psychedelics and using psychedelics for healing, is that that new neural pathway just started its creation, right? It's brand new formation. So now is where the work comes. Mm-hmm. And the work is to support that new neural pathway so it can continue to grow, right? And we haven't had options for people for a very long time to help really get people out of those ruts. I mean, I know we have lots of pharmaceuticals that can sometimes help. We definitely have some herbs that can help, depending on the level of mental illness someone's suffering from. But I am just really excited for more humans to have the opportunity to use these medicines and for them to hopefully decrease some of the stigma around them so that we can offer more true healing opportunities for people.
Wow. That's incredible. It's an incredible breakdown of it. I really love that picture of the rut and getting out of that rut onto a whole new path. And how impactful, you know, like how powerful and truly amazing that it's now something that's just becoming available for people. I'm thrilled to see how many people this can help down the road. And gosh, I'm thrilled to chat with you about it too, because it is like, it's a pioneering situation right now. You know, sure, people have done it recreationally. I know.
Yeah. I know. And so our new, you know, and people are hungry for it too. Like I'm working with a facilitator training program here now in Oregon. So that's really exciting.
What does it take to be a facilitator?
Well, here, so it's all just brand new, but we have a few different training programs in the state, and they are about 130 hours of program plus another 40 hours of practicum. Mm-hmm. And then students will take an exam in whatever school they're in, and then they sign up to take an exam from the state. And so it's actually a state license that you get to be a facilitator. The training programs are considered trade schools here. Mm-hmm. And then there are some, once you become a facilitator at the current time, the way the regulations are written, facilitators will have to be with their clients in a registered psilocybin facility or a retreat center is really what I think most of them will look like. So I think that Oregon's done a really great job. I was here for the cannabis legalization, and we did a mediocre job on that, I'll say, because our patients got lost, right? There's really not, there is no robust medical program. The way that we rolled out legalization, a lot of small farmers couldn't make a living anymore. And so because we opened it up to people from all over the place and a lot of bigger money, bigger organizations came into Oregon and have kind of taken over the cannabis scene. So there was a lot of concern about that with psilocybin here too. But the way Oregon's handled that, in order to become a facilitator, you actually have to be an Oregon resident for 2 years. They're not giving licenses out for facilities to people also who aren't Oregon residents at this time. So I just feel like we're really supporting more the community that lives in the state, which
that's good news.
Didn't happen in the cannabis world.
No, it certainly didn't.
And really the regulations are also trying to keep it open. So you just, folks don't have to have advanced degrees to become a facilitator. You have to have a high school diploma, go through these programs, of course, and be vetted by your training school. But there's a lot of room for it, for more opportunity for people, because having a license of some sort doesn't necessarily mean you'll be a better space holder for people in that realm. And it is a lot of, you know, what I think about that work, part of why I'm drawn to it is because I'm really good at holding space. Yes. And that's what we're doing, you know, and the the prayer that I am putting out for someone every time is that you are safe and you are loved, because so many people are coming to try psychedelic medicine because they've had a history of trauma or some really, you know, heavy things that they're carrying with them in their life. And so it's important you're in a really vulnerable state to have trust in the person you're sitting with and to know that you are safe. And I believe that we are all loved, you know? Yeah. So that's kind of the energy that I put out for people to be in when they're having those experiences, I guess. But
that's beautiful. That is really exciting to hear about. And I can't wait to talk with you more about it and watch how it all evolves. I think it's incredible. Really, really incredible stuff there for sure. Wow. You have such an amazing history. Like, this is really great having you on and like hearing what a really powerful healer you are and how much incredible experience you have in so many different realms of helping people from birth to death to emergency and trauma and all of those things. Like, amazing.
I like to do, I think I told you earlier now, how when people ask me what I do, I say I have a unique nursing practice.
Very unique.
How do you fit it all in? I mean, I say also I'm a cannabis nurse herbalist, because that feels like that kind of embodies a lot of things too. But yeah.
So in your cannabis nursing practice, you help a lot of cancer patients, right?
I do. Yeah. That's a huge portion of my client. Load. Yeah. And that's been, you know, I was an ER nurse, right? So we're not really taking care of cancer patients unless they're having a crisis. Mm-hmm. So I've done an immense amount of learning in the last 5 years. And really, it began, I guess, in 2016 is when my father got diagnosed with cancer. And that's how this whole thing began for me. And you know, I'd already been doing some work with cannabis back when we legalized in Vermont. You know, I started to work with patients. I also have my own autoimmune condition that took me a couple years actually to realize that cannabis was a good ally for me. But once I did, that kind of changed my life. And then when my dad got sick, you know, I'd been learning a lot because I just was inspired to learn more and more. And I was working with clients with chronic pain and other conditions. And he had a rare sarcoma from Agent Orange. And they removed a 9-pound tumor and his kidney and gave him a year to live. Said, we don't have options for you. There's no treatment for the sarcoma. It's going to come back. Get your affairs in order. So I went back to see him, and he had, you know, 120 staples across his abdomen. I mean, he was in rough shape, and I had to get really brave because my dad was a police officer. I'm definitely the tie-dye sheep in the family. And after being there with him for about 2 weeks, I just had to say it. So I said, Dad, this is what I do for a living. This is how I help people. And I believe you have an option. So I just wanted to share this option with you. And I, you know, I talked about cannabis and its cancer killing properties, and there's no guarantee. It's not like just because anybody's going to use cannabis, it's going to kill their cancer. We all have our own path, whatever that looks like, but it is an option. And I believe it should be available for every cancer patient, for symptom management, for a shift in perception, for relaxation, whatever it is they need, and to kill cancer cells, right? I mean, that's an awesome bonus.
Right.
If you want it to help with your nausea, isn't that an awesome bonus that also can kill some cancer cells? So I sent him a couple articles, and he, you know, probably a month later called me up and said, I'm ready to do it. So I learned how to make what people know often as Rick Simpson oil or RSO. I call it FECO, full extract cannabis oil. Mm-hmm. Learned how to make that. And I started to make that for my father. And that was in 2016. So my dad just died in September. So he lived another, you know, 5 years, 6 years, 6 years, actually. And I learned a lot from him, because there's so much information out there, you know, and everyone does it differently because we are all different.
Right.
But he just had one dose a day of his oil. It wasn't even really high dose oil like we hear people need. And it worked for him. He never made a diet change, you know, didn't do all those other shifts that, you know, in my mind are really great to do. But so clearly that medicine made a difference for him. So that's how I got started in the world of cancer. And then it just, I think that word of mouth travels fast, and I've worked with and also lost a lot of people I love in the last 5 years. So I've learned a lot about death. I've learned a lot about cancer, learned a lot about cannabis. And it's really fascinating. You maybe already know about the endocannabinoid system, but you know, for the listeners, we have a whole nother organ system that medicine isn't recognizing. An organ system, right? Mm-hmm. So we have an endocannabinoid system where we make our own human cannabinoids, and we have receptors on almost every cell for those cannabinoids, right? We're already doing it in our body all the time, and medicine doesn't know about it. Yeah. Right? It's like your digestive system. It's your endocannabinoid system. It should be in every A&P book everywhere, yes. Right? Right now, 14% of medical schools are teaching about the endocannabinoid system.
Wow.
We're doing a grave disservice to all of our upcoming doctors, nurses, and patients, in my opinion.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't realize it was only 14%.
There's not enough.
So much more growth to happen in this.
So much.
Amazing. Like Western medicine, this whole system is amazing and powerful. It's corrupt and gross and disgusting all at the same time.
Yeah.
But hearing these things and just knowing that there are a lot of other doctors and nurses and physicians turning to a more integrative approach.
Yes.
It's going to be really fascinating to see when people like you speak up about all of these kinds of things and share their expertise with the world, how that's going to change the face of medicine, hopefully. The fear becomes what we've seen here in Oregon and other places with the cannabis legalization and, you know, these big, huge companies coming in and taking it over, and you know,
right? The FDA and then it's agribusiness, just like our food. Is it really, you know, if it's grown with chemicals in, you know, a hot house on concrete, then is it really medicine? You know, which we already feel that way about our food. You know, I want my food actually to grow in soil, clean soil, right?
Yeah. So you can actually like get the nutrients and
eat the dirt that's on my carrot. Like I don't lash my carrot if it comes out of my own garden, you know, I mean, I wipe it off on my jeans because sometimes the little dirt pieces are crunchy in your teeth. Clean dirt is actually good for you. That's what I tell my children. It's good to eat clean dirt.
Absolutely. My daughter's been eating dirt since she was an infant, playing in the garden with me, like, arp.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. You can
healthy
do that.
I know it's good for you.
Exactly. Exactly. Which, as you were talking about the psilocybin and that transference in helping with depression, and talking about the briefly, you talked about drugs that are often prescribed in there. It took me to one of the teachers we just had, an apothecary mama. She was talking about nutrition for children. She's a pediatric naturopath, and we were talking about the microbiome and how it's such a huge thing. And we briefly touched upon like how in the world of psychiatry and psychology, they should be connecting with gastroenterologists and discussing what's going on with the gut. But now here's this whole other level, bringing in the psychedelic treatment as well. This is a long time rabbit hole that we could, this podcast could last 20 more years.
Good thing we met each other. We have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, we really, really do. Oh my gosh. How amazing. So amazing. We do have a lot to talk about. I'm so excited to talk about all kinds of things with you so much more. And fortunately, you live close to my family. We share birthdays. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have you as a guest teacher in Apothecary Mamas. You are also teaching a bunch this year. You have an apprenticeship going on.
I do. I have a small intimate apprenticeship at my own home because my home is small, which is sweet because then we get to spend time in the gardens and really get to know the plants and know each other, which I think is one of the really beautiful gifts that we have in the herbal community, you know, or even nature community, I'll say, because it's not just herbs, but those of us who really are, there's something special. We know when we love nature and we are nature and it's our lifestyle, it's just really nice to connect with other people who agree with that or live that
Amen.
Way. Yes. And this year I'm actually doing, I'm offering my first online apprenticeship, which is exciting. In part because I've just met so many great people all over the country. And this world of COVID has really turned us into more of an online world, which part of me likes because I love my home and so awesome if I never have to leave it. so I'm hoping I'm excited about it. There'll be a little bit of didactic work every month. It's just a once a month apprenticeship. So 5 hours once a month we'll meet and then really work together over Zoom because we know we can do it, you know? And so I love really this apprenticeship, I think, is learners will at the end really feel comfortable using herbs for themselves and their families and kind of be ready for our next step of getting out in the community a bit. So, you know, we cover the basic body systems, product making, a lot of stories, a lot of one of the things that I'm doing that's a little unique, I will be working from Rosemary Gladstar's Science and Art of Herbalism curriculum. Rosemary was one of my teachers for a couple different years. And I'm going to bring in cannabis also because a lot of people are interested. And again, we have this whole other organ system that I think everyone should know about at baseline, you know, so I'm going to bring that in too. And I try to bring in some of the different things I do. You know, we all have our own little unique way. And so I'm looking forward to it, this online part. And I just love sharing the plants. And like I said earlier, getting people just excited about thinking about things in a little different way, you know. Yeah. And one of my favorite things that has come up in doing the apprenticeship for me is that every month I'm making products. And I'm like experimenting and trying new things. And I do a lot of work with the plants and gardening and, you know, harvesting and drying and making tinctures and getting my apothecary to be up to, you know, the level I want it to be. But I really don't just spend a lot of time making stuff for fun like I used to. And so it's really regenerated that for me is I have such a good time making products, trying new things. And we just made this new, in this year's apprenticeship, we made, it's kind of like a, you could use it on the topping for any food, but I'm calling it a popcorn topper because I've been eating so much popcorn and pouring this stuff on. And it's toasted sesame seeds, nutritional yeast, kelp powder, garlic. And I use like a green vitamin green powder.
Right.
It is so good.
It sounds so delicious. Good.
I like want to lick the bottom of the bowl, you know, make sure I get all of it when I'm done. And then I think, oh, it's okay. Cause these are vitamins. Like I'm like eating vitamins on my popcorn. Everything's great.
I need more vitamins. Yeah.
And so I just got this brand new thing that now I'm doing every day, which I know is helping me with my health. Cause I'm, you know, I don't just drink green powder all the time. And some people do. And I have little spells where I'm good about drinking my green powder, but not all the time. So now I'm eating it instead.
It goes back to the beginning of our conversation on this podcast of using your food as medicine and recognizing that that's exactly what it is. And I loved hearing you talk about how you got into nursing and how, and they immediately started talking about the whole person. And I think what I'm seeing out in the world today of people really getting into like wanting to learn about herbalism and natural remedies. One thing I have observed is I'll get this question. Hey, Mel, I have this problem. What herb do I take for it? Yeah. And they're really looking at herbalism in that allopathic way where you take that instant fix pill and it solves all the problems aside from the long list of side effects, right?
Right.
But it's all a whole lifestyle, as you were saying. It's a whole being. You incorporate it into your food, into your spiritual practice, into your medicine, into all of the different things. So, I was just going to say, I didn't realize that nursing students were given that perspective. Yeah.
We have quite a few mind, body, spirit, which is great. We don't necessarily get to practice that in work, but that is how we are taught. One of the things that I teach a lot, especially I love teaching nurses about herbs. We talked about that earlier too. We were always using herbs, right? Until we had pharmaceuticals, nurses were using herbs to help patients. And we think about what we're doing. When you take in food, herbs, cannabis, plant medicine, what we're doing is we're providing our body with this whole array of constituents, right? And then our body, because our bodies are wise and they want to heal, will take what they need from what you've given them, right? It might not need every vitamin you put in there because maybe we have adequate stores of that vitamin, you know, but it's going to take what it needs from these plants and food that we provide. When we use a pharmaceutical, it's forcing our body to do something that our body's not already doing. And sometimes that's super valuable. I mean, if you're in heart failure, you probably want to have your diuretic. It's going to force your body to let go of water, right? Mm-hmm. But on our everyday basis, to be taking something that's forcing your body to do something it's not already doing is problematic, right? It's why we end up having bad side effects from our drugs. So, you know, just to think about it that way, what you're doing is you're providing all the tools. Our bodies want to heal. And when we feed them well, then they can choose, they can direct, right? Our bodies can direct the care of themselves, which is really awesome.
Our bodies are amazing.
They are so amazing. They're so amazing. Yeah. We forgot that. I think that's a big piece of what we have forgotten in health, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely. Oh my gosh, you have so much to give. Like anybody who takes your apprenticeship, like not only are they going to get all this herbal knowledge, they're going to get everything else that you have experience in, like nursing whole body healing, like fortunate being. So how can my listeners find you and find out about your apprenticeship and get that awesome opportunity to learn from you?
Well, I have a website. It's herbsongfarm.com. And I'm on Instagram, also at herbsongfarm.
With a cute puppy.
I have a puppy, yes. So you can see puppy pictures if you come to my social media.
Yeah.
She's pretty much what I do a lot right now. Those are really the best ways. I am on Facebook under Heather Shelton, which is my name. I don't have a business profile there because it's a very interesting herbal world we live in where I have to use technology to teach about plants. And mostly I just want to be outside with the plants. So I'm learning. But so I can be found at herbsongfarm.com or on Instagram at herbsongfarm. And I love interactions. And I just, I'm excited. If I'm not the right person, you know, I'm actually been having a lot of phone calls with people about the apprenticeship. One, if they don't know me, I want to get to know each other, make sure I'm the right person that they want to commit to for a period of time. And I lost my train of thought.
It's important to have that connection with your teachers and with your mentors. Like if you can't resonate with them, they're not the one for you. You know,
or if someone has a lot of experience, like I just met with a woman, chatted with her earlier this week, and she's taken another course that's fairly in depth. So, you know, I wouldn't say that she would waste her time by being with me because I have other things that I could bring in, but you know, what I'm doing might not be what she's looking for. So, you know, I learned from Rosemary actually a long time ago that one of our most important tools to have as an herbalist is your referral box.
Yes.
And know who the people are who can help your people, you know, yes. in whatever way. So I have a box full of healers mm-hmm. and other folks that if, you know, somebody has a specific issue, I might be able to direct them in a way of someone else who can support them. Or also in the frame of the apprenticeship, even, you know, like this woman, she may need something that's a little more advanced than what mm-hmm. I'm doing. So, you know, so I do offer that to anyone who's interested. We can have a phone call and kind of hash it out, see what they want to do. And yeah.
That's amazing. Heather, thank you so much. I'm super excited to bring you in to my students in Apothecary Mamas.
I'm excited to meet them too. And I think what you're offering is such a great gift. I mean,
thank you.
I miss for our poor mamas, like, As I'm about to be a grandma, I don't know if you ever got Mothering Magazine when you were
yes,
back in the day. And mm-hmm. we don't have those options anymore of getting your beautiful magazine in the mail where you can, you know, hear that other moms are doing things in the same way or mm-hmm. learn about alternative ways. And so it's really great that you're offering moms a place where they can also know each other.
Thank you. Yeah, I definitely saw a need for it with so many mamas seeking more natural care and therapy and really getting some poor information and advice. So I'm excited to have you bring your insight because you have so much to offer. So, and I'm excited for anybody that's able to take an apprenticeship with you. I'm like, ooh,
come on down.
Like to the person who's maybe taken some advanced courses, I've taken plenty of advanced herbalism courses, but that doesn't mean that I don't want to continue to learn from people no matter what level it is. And I think that's the incredible beauty of herbalism. And you are somebody that I would have a blast learning with, you know, like you have tons to teach me that I don't know already. And whether that's on a basic level or not, that's the other beautiful thing is like you can work with a plant for 15 years and still find something new about that plant that just blows your mind. And that is the beauty of herbalism and plant medicine and the beauty of being able to learn from so many great teachers.
Yeah. And in our very widespread community. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, I love to learn from other teachers. I'm excited to go to I'm going to the Good Medicine Confluence in July. I'll be presenting there this summer. And you know, just to get to go be around a whole lot of other herbalists, you know, maybe I'll find a new way to use time, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is, it's community too. And just like the earth, you know, we need diversity of personalities and colors and experiences and in our gardens, we need the same thing, right? All different kinds of plants and who different needs and different colors. And so we grow better when we have that. So I look forward to, I am so glad to know you now as a friend. So now I'm just increasing my garden of lovely.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. Thank you, Heather, so much. I appreciate you.
Thanks for having me. It's been really fun.
Thank you so much for tuning into another episode of The Herbalist Path. Being on this journey with you is absolutely incredible. If you dig this episode, please leave me a review on your favorite podcast player and share it with your friends so that together we can make herbalism hashtag spread like wildflowers. On another note, I must mention that while I know you're getting some good info here, it's important to remember that this podcast is purely for entertainment and educational purposes and is not intended to be a substitute for medical treatment. While the information in this podcast is absolutely relevant, herbs work differently for each person and each condition. That's why I recommend you work with a qualified practitioner, whether that be another herbalist, a naturopath, or your doctor. So thank you again. I am truly honored that you're tuning into these episodes and on the path with me to make sure that there's an herbalist in every home again. Don't forget to share this episode with your friends so that we can make herbalism hashtag spread like wildflowers.